Welcome to the Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. Larry is the author of over 40 books, the founder of Dove International, a worldwide family of churches and ministries in six continents, and has over 50 years of leadership experience. He and his guests will share inspirational leadership insights from their journey with God. These insights, gleaned from serving leaders in many nations, will transform your life and leadership. For more information on Larry's books and resources, visit LarryKreider.com.
Welcome to the Larry Kreider Leadership Podcast. Larry Kreider here. With me again for the second time, Philip and Karina on Monday, now living in Ontario, Canada. Spent many years in Kenya, spent many, many years in India, Uganda, and now Canada. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Larry.
Great to have you back. And we talked about leadership, all you learned about leadership on a former podcast. And today we want to talk about what can happen in our lives when the unexpected happens. We're living life, obeying God, called to leadership, and something unexpected happens. Of course, in your case, it was having cancer. And we want to talk about the faithfulness of God. And so we'll start, Karina, with you. And I'm trusting God that people all over the world who watch and listen to this podcast, I will be so built up in their faith by hearing your story today of the faithfulness of God. So let's begin at the beginning. You were in Canada, called to plant a church there years ago, right? When did you move to Canada? How many years ago was that?
All right. So we moved to Canada in 2019. So this would be our fifth year here. Okay. And so we were in Toronto for a while, but later we felt the Lord leading us to move to London, Ontario. Right. And as soon as we got to Toronto, that was in 2021, November. In December, started feeling just, you know, a neck pain, shoulder pain. And I thought it was just because of the moving that we had just done. Sure. And also at that time we had started exercising, so going to the gym. So I thought, like, I hurt myself at the gym. So just normal things. Right. So in fact, Philip is the one who would try. I would tell him, massage me. I believe it will go. But the more he would massage, the more painful it would become. So finally, we decided that, you know what, let's consult a doctor. So we went to the hospital. One of the days, the pain was excruciating to the point of I could not sleep on the bed. We were actually sleeping on the couch, like sitting. You know, sitting up, propping myself with pillows and all that. So finally, we decided we'll go to the emergency room. At the emergency room, they didn't really see anything. So they sent us to a physiotherapy. So went to a physiotherapist and did his stuff. And he said he recommended an X-ray. So as we were going for the X-ray, just a few days before we got the X-ray done, I started throwing up continuously. So it was anything and everything that I was taking, I was just constantly throwing up. And so when we did go to the doctor for the X-ray, the doctor actually looked at me and he put down the X-ray sheet aside and told me, you know what, I think something else is going on with you. So can you lie down here and let me just examine you? And he started doing some examinations around my abdomen area, and he said I can feel something, and I was also in pain at that time. And immediately he sent me back to the emergency room. And in the emergency room, they did the X-rays, they did a CAT scan, I did blood work and everything. And for sure, by the time they came back with the results, here I was, I went to the emergency room and I thought it was just something, maybe something I'd eaten or something like that. That's why I was throwing up. Right. The next thing the doctor is telling me that we are seeing a tumor and we're not sure about it. It looks cancerous.
A large tumor.
And I remember my brain refused to process it. I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. I actually told the doctor that I don't know what you're talking about. I don't even understand what you're saying. Like, I just came here and I was coming to hospital just because I knew, because I'm throwing up, I may probably need IV. So I'm not, don't tell me that. I can't accept it, you know? So he calmed me down and called Philip and, you know, told Philip pretty much the same thing. And they said in a couple of days, we're going to do a biopsy. We recommend we have to do a biopsy in order for us to check what is actually in the tumor. And in the meantime, by that time, also they found out that the tumor, said tumor, was actually emitting lots of fluid. So my lungs were actually getting filled up. So they had to like put a chest tube in order to drain out the fluid that was there. So anyway, we stayed in hospital. I was admitted to hospital, obviously. Stayed there for about 2 days, and they did the biopsy and, well, cancer diagnosis. So it was very hard for me to accept that diagnosis, primarily because the most important thing, we were like, God, we're here to serve you.
Yep.
Right. Exactly.
We've lived in countries that are far worse, in my estimation, like are far more dangerous than this. So why would I come to Canada, of all places, and fall sick here? I've never been sick in India, never been. The only time I was ever admitted in India was because of birth and delivery, you know, things like those. So I've never been sick in India. I've never been really sick in Kenya, never sick in Uganda. So how can I be sick here? So it was denial and also just refusing to accept. We, for a long time, for a couple of weeks, I could not accept the diagnosis.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we are here to serve you. So how can this be happening when we are here to serve you, Lord? It does not add up. How can that be happening? And then number two, I was also at that stage of, I've been eating healthy. I've been working out. I've been doing all I can in my power to remain healthy. So how can this be happening to me? So it was quite a hard diagnosis to accept.
Yeah.
And another thing that we really faced during that time, I don't know, sometimes I guess it just happens, but sometimes there was a little bit of judgment that comes, or because there are people who are questioning and asking, Karina, you're a worship leader, Philip, you're a pastor, you're servants of God. What is happening to you? What did you do wrong? Or
some sin?
Yes, so some sin. So it was just a mixture of a lot of things. Some people even said that, oh, these guys, they're suffering like this because they moved away from Toronto, because we were in Toronto before and it seemed like we were doing well. But deep down, we knew that we were not living out our full potential as long as we were in Toronto. So we moved to London. So we actually had somebody had said that it's because we moved away from Toronto and moved to London. That's why this was happening. So with all that happening, we're like, Lord, okay. Anyways, so the diagnosis came back, and for sure it was cancer, and specific type of cancer is non-Hodgkin's Burkitt's lymphoma, which is basically cancer of the white blood cells. So quickly the doctor told us that this is an aggressive kind of cancer, and you have to report for treatment
chemotherapy.
And they told us the only option is, yes, no surgery, no any other form of treatment except chemotherapy. And at that time, I remember my dad also had been diagnosed with liver cancer, and he was highly against chemotherapy because obviously he was going through the same experience, so he knew about it, and therefore he was against it totally. And so we took a little bit of time trying to convince him. We had our doctor friends from Kenya speak to him and explain to him like the situation as it was. And so finally, after a couple of weeks, he accepted. But by the time we were actually headed out to hospital, because even in order for me to be admitted to hospital, we also needed to have a family doctor. And by the time we actually got a family doctor, everything, time had really gone. And so by the time we reached the hospital, went to meet the family doctor just looked at me and said, you should not have come here. You should have gone directly to the hospital and started your chemotherapy, because it's like I deteriorated extremely fast.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was like 3 weeks. And remember, the doctor had told us this is an aggressive cancer, so you have to be fast. But it's like he was speaking, it was entering in one ear and leaving in the other. Also because we were still in denial, right? Mm-hmm. So By the time we reached the doctor's office, she told us, I can't, Philip had driven there, but he told me, Philip, I'll not let you drive her back. I'm calling the emergency vehicle. We're taking her. Wow. We are going to take her to Victoria Hospital. That's a hospital in London. We're going to take her there because she's not in a condition to ride in your car. And immediately, yeah, because also at that point, they could not detect my blood pressure because it was dropping at such a fast rate. So they had to, like, I had to be in an emergency vehicle. So went back to this hospital that the doctor that we had gone to was about 20 minutes outside of London. So the emergency vehicle dropped me back to London Hospital, and I was in the ward for a bit, and every doctor that came in was just saying, Karina, you're extremely ill. At that point, I don't know whether it's because of the not wanting to accept the diagnosis or not, but I wasn't really feeling sick, you know? I was just like, well, I'm just normal. I was just tired, yes, but I was feeling like, yeah, nothing much is going on, so why do they keep saying that I'm very ill? So, but at the same time, I was in and out of consciousness. Remember, my lungs were also, you know, filled with fluid, so kind of collapsing. So I was not able to breathe normally, you know? So at one point when I was conscious, I did call Philip and tell him, hey, Philip, you can come to hospital. Please bring me my phone so that we can do video chats, you know, because at that time, it was during COVID, so they were not allowing guests or visitors into the hospital. So I told him, just bring my phone and, yeah, so we can be doing video chat. So he brought my phone to the hospital, nicely packed in a Ziploc, but I was too weak to even get it out of the Ziploc, you know? And within a very short time, they called Philip and told him, we're transferring her to the ICU because she's deteriorating very fast. And
keep your phone near you.
Keep your phone near you. So he asked, like, why are you taking her to the ICU? I mean, I brought her. We were with her. Just this morning, we were with her. We told her, no, her condition is deteriorating very fast. In the ICU, we'll be able to manage her much better. They told me I'd have to be intubated. So I asked them, why do you have to intubate me? And so they explained it to me. But I remember they intubated me, and then they gave me some medicine, and I was out. So that's when... Remember, they told Philip to keep his phone nearby. So that's when Philip comes in. You want to share this?
Yeah.
I want to hear the rest of your story. Philip, now give us your perspective. And by the way, you know, as a leader, people can be so cruel at times, you know, and some of the things they said or they, you know, and that's part of what leaders deal with, you know, in the midst of the pain we go through, people do misunderstand. Now, Philip, what were you feeling through all this? Tell us your side as to what you saw happen in this whole process.
Yeah, Karina deteriorated so fast. I mean, I didn't even have time to process anything.
Hmm.
And remember, we have three children.
Yes.
Then now I have a sick wife.
Yes.
It was just like total confusion.
Yeah.
I was like, my world was, you see this bottle?
Yeah.
It was turned
upside
down. Like totally out of balance.
Mm-hmm.
All I saw around me was darkness, actually, darkness. And to make matters worse, we were in winter, so no sunshine, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of gloomy, and it was just like, whoa, this is hell itself.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing I remember, the doctor called me at 3 a.m. You know, he had told me, we're taking your wife to the ICU.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I were you, Mr. Philip, I would keep my phone very near. And true to his word, he called me at 3 a.m. and told me, Mr. Philip, please rush to the hospital. Come into the ICU. We already gave your name at the entrance. Rush to the ICU. Your wife is, he didn't want to use the word, but he said, I'm afraid, you know, you may get here. May not find your wife alive. Please rush. So I rush to the hospital. I get in there, and for sure, it was a very bad scene in there. I mean, Karina had tubes running into like almost every available orifice on her face, tubes in her hands, different colors of tubes. She was intubated. She was looking lifeless.
Yeah.
And I had a voice telling me inside, pray. I could not pray. But then I remembered, I have friends who can pray.
Yes.
Yeah. So I got hold of the phone.
Mm-hmm.
I called Ibrahim Omondi.
Yes.
I called other people.
Mm.
And the only question they asked, Philip, what is happening? I said, Karina is dying. You need to pray now. I'm going to put this on video. And you know, when they saw her on video, wow, they really pleaded with the Lord to save Karina. All I could do was weep. I was just calling and putting the phone right next to Karina's ears because the doctor had told me she can still hear us,
mm-hmm.
but she's going to die in a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Just hold her hands and speak some sweet words to her. Let her die in peace. And mm-hmm. once her heart stops beating, I'm not going to resuscitate because mm-hmm. if I try to resuscitate, her heart is going to explode because the tumor is so big. It's lying on top of her heart.
Yeah.
If we try to resuscitate her heart, it will just explode. That was devastating news. I always say that no spouse should ever hear those words.
Yeah.
Your wife is dying in a few minutes. We are not going to resuscitate. The tumor is so large, it's going to explode, blah, blah, blah. But people really prayed.
Mm-hmm. Sure did.
That's all I remember. People really prayed. And I waited for 1 hour. He had said a few minutes, she's going to die. Waited for 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. And the same doctor told me, Philip, I think you better go home. Somebody told me you have 3 children at home. And from the look of things, your wife is still here. We thought she'd be dead by now. She's still here. If she comes out of this, she will need you. You go home and take care of yourself. Take care of your children. If your wife comes out of this, you'll need to take care of her. Mm-hmm. And I actually heard Jesus speaking through the doctor's voice. Go home. Take care of yourself.
Wow.
And I went home.
Mm. What happened next?
Yeah. So they called me at midday.
Mm-hmm.
They called me at midday. I just knew, okay, this is that dreaded phone call.
Right.
Karina is gone. And, you know, I was just pleading with God, Lord, if somebody has to die today, it's not Karina. Let it be me. I can't live without this woman. I'm not going to raise 3 children on my own. I think she can do a better job. I was actually pleading with God. What I didn't realize is, I was on phone with a friend from the States and she could hear everything I was telling God. Mm. Later on, she told me, Philip, do you know what you're saying? You're saying, Lord, if there is anybody who's supposed to die today, it is Philip. Karina is so innocent. She's the mother of our children. She's the one who can take care of these children. Let me die. That's what I was saying. Wow. And, you know, the doctor called me. This time it was a female doctor. That was a male doctor, the night guy. Mm. The daytime person was a female doctor. Are you Mr. Philip? Yes. And I remember telling the doctor, do not tell me anything. Please don't tell me anything.
Coming.
I'm coming. I stay very near the hospital. I'm coming. She said, okay. Got into the car, rushed to the hospital. I was prepared for the worst news. I just wanted to see Karina's body and, you know, just accept it as God's will. I got in there and the doctor looked at me and said, you're a very lucky man. Your wife's heart had stopped and I resuscitated her. And then I remembered the other doctor had said, once the heart stops, no resuscitation. This doctor during the day, your wife's heart stopped. You're a very lucky man. Your wife's heart had stopped. I resuscitated her. The machine is still here. I'm like, whoa, praise God. He's answering prayer. He's answering prayer. The guy who said they will not resuscitate is out. This one resuscitated. And she actually told me, you can sit here and just be by your wife. From the look of things, she may make it. No guarantees, Philip. But from the look of things, in the morning, it was a very grim situation. She's telling me these words. It was a very grim situation, but I think the chemotherapy is doing its thing. You can just sit here and be next to your wife. I sat there for another 4 hours. Then at about 4 or 5 p.m., I felt so much peace. This is the part I love telling about this story. I'm telling you, Larry Kreider, I've never felt such peace in my life. I think this is the kind of peace I felt when I got born again in 93. I felt tremendous peace. I actually thought we had both died and we were in heaven. Yeah, I actually checked myself. I pinched like this. I pinched my skin. Like, are we still on earth? I went to the window to check outside if there's still snow, like it was winter, snowy. Are we still here? Then I called the nurse. Hey, nurse, is the doctor around? Yeah, the doctor is around. Can I call him? Yeah. So he calls the doctor. And this is the same nurse who had handed me Karina's belongings in a plastic carry bag. Like, she's not coming back. Just, and the doctor came in and said, oh, Philip, I think there's a good chance your wife will make it. Just go home. Go home. Take care of yourself. Take care of your kids. Once again, I felt Jesus was talking through a doctor. So as I'm leaving the hospital to go home back to our children, I am taken up in a vision. Oh, I love this part of the story. I was driving. I was still very conscious with my hands on the steering wheel. Sure. I was taken up into the sky and I saw two angels. And one of them was telling the other one, you mean all this prayer is being made for this young woman?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
She will not die. Her life will not be taken away from her. And that settled everything. I knew Karina was not dying. I knew she had made it.
Yeah. So 8 days after that,
8 days in a coma.
8 days in a coma. I still think I was there for 3 days, but sure. Obviously I was out. So I rely on their information. So 8 days later, I suddenly wake up and this wonderful nurse, I don't know whether that nurse is an angel. I don't know who that was, honestly. But she was playing for me, Waymaker, Miracle Worker.
Wow.
You know, she was playing that music because Philip had, she said she had been speaking to Philip and Philip had told her that I'm a worship leader. So she decided that's a song she was playing. So as I'm waking up, I can hear this song in the background. And this nurse tells me, you are going to make it. I believe you've been in such a battle for your life, but you are going to make it. So, and that was the beginning of waking up. And I totally woke up. And to tell you the truth, we've tried looking for this nurse and we've never seen her again. So sometimes, I don't know, I want to believe it was an angel. But after 8 days, so woke up and began a journey of physiotherapy.
Yeah, left the ICU.
Left the ICU.
Went back to the regular ward.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Did some physiotherapy because it's interesting how fast your body can deteriorate. I couldn't walk just after 8 days. So got back to normal and did the other rounds of chemotherapy. And well, I don't want to make it too long, but I'm here today. Yeah. And just in May of 2023, went for a review. And the doctor says, everything looks perfect. There is no evidence of disease. So one thing I can testify is that by the prayer of the saints, this, I do not take it, and I do not take any credit for it. We do not take any credit for it. God used saints all around the world in our Dove networks and all our friends to pray for us.
You forgot one part. You know, the good news from the doctor, in 2022, last year,
yes,
after the four rounds of chemotherapy. So we were waiting for the good news because Karina went for two scans to confirm whether there was still cancer, the tumor, stuff like that. So she went for the scans and we were waiting for the results of the scan. One day while we were at Walmart, Karina's doctor calls and Karina, your doctor is calling. This must be good news. Karina talks to her doctor and the doctor says, Karina, I know you're in holiday mode.
You're eager.
I want you to enjoy your holiday with your children. I want to give you the best news of your life. You're cancer free.
Yeah. Okay.
We started dancing at Walmart. Yay! No cancer. No cancer. That was last year.
Yeah.
So the review she's talking about is now the second review.
Yeah, second one.
Yeah, the second review. She went for a second review in May this year. And once again, no evidence of cancer. She has one more review coming up.
In November.
Right.
We believe it will be the same results.
Yeah. So the doctor has been telling us the farther apart your reviews are, that means good news. So we're excited about that.
Thank God.
Yeah, so it's been God.
But God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. And the prayers of God's people, you know, being connected.
Oh, yeah.
Pray around the world is such a great blessing. Yeah. Wow. Well, we're out of time. That was so good. So refreshing. Anything else you'd like to say to our listeners around the world on the podcast today in regards to God's healing in your life and in the prayers of God's people or anything else you'd like to say in closing?
Yeah. One thing that I've come to learn is that we just need to continue being family. One thing I love about the DAV is a sense of family, and family showed up and showed out.
Yeah, they did.
So always purpose to connect as a leader, as a believer, as a child of God, always purpose to connect to a family or a body of Christ. It always comes through.
Amen.
Whenever you will need it. So I'm glad to be part of a family.
And my parting shots would be, couples, be there for one another. I thought I loved Karina, but when Karina fell sick, my love for her was put to the test. That's when I realized I love this woman. Because she had no hair on. The chemotherapy really changed her looks and affected so many other things. But I was still like, I love you, despite all this. You know?
God is so good. Thank you for that. That just being vulnerable and open to all you had to walk through and the things you've learned in the process. And we're just so grateful for the, just for the healing presence and power of God and for the fact that we stand together. Thank you, Philip and Karina, for sharing your story. And for all those who are listening today on the podcast, you want to know more about Philip and Karina, what God is doing with them, check the show notes. It's all on there. And we love you all. We're so blessed, Philip and Karina, to serve together with you to see the nations come to know Jesus. So God bless you in London, Ontario. And serve the Lord there during this season of your life and see God's hand on you. And I am convinced you saw, Karina, I'm convinced that you saw an angel in your room. I really believe that was an angel. That's just the most.
Yes.
I've had other friends going through some of the same kinds of things, and angels were definitely involved in the process.
Oh, yeah.
So, that's the God whom we serve. His angels minister to us. So God bless you. And thank you, everyone, for joining us for the Larry Carter Leadership Podcast today. And we look forward to having you back next week.
Thank you for listening to Larry Crider's Leadership Podcast. If you want more information about any of Larry's books, daily devotionals, small group resources, or any other teachings, go to LarryCrider.com.